Blog Talk Radio.
Outstanding. Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars today. Stardate 8/17/22. Hope everybody joining us this evening is doing better than wonderful. I am your hostess with slight less than the mostess right now. Dave Atwell coming to you from janky Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Oh, God.
And he's doing this by osmosis.
Yeah, man. If it's not, got to use all the science terms, osmosis, chlorophyll, that was a good one. You just always keep up with the science. What was the other, the plant one? Photosynthesis, that's what I was thinking of.
There we
but
go.
I got to have leaves to
plants
keep up on that
breathing
one. Nevertheless, got to kick it around to my wonderful esteemed panel this evening as I light up my delicious Perdomo cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. So, starting in the wonderful, wonderful state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, what shaketh?
Well, not much. I mean, we had some nice rain last night, a little bit of rain today, and cooler temperatures, which was really nice. So I like the cooler temperatures. So, you know, a bit busy, but, you know, other than that, it's been a fairly decent week. So, you know, not much going on.
Yeah, I think we're going through our false fall right now where everybody gets duped into feeling like, hey, man, it's cooling off. Get the pumpkin spice stuff out. Nah, I'm sure next week it'll be hotter than Satan's butt crack out here. So whatever you do, don't get too comfy. Don't put up the booty shorts yet. It's not quite there. I don't put up my booty shorts till after Halloween. So, nevertheless, great to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us. It's always good to have you. Now let's kick it back east to the fantastic city of Indianapolis and its outlying regions, to where the alpacas roam. And my good brother, Tim, what's up?
I need to come up with a good sound effect for the alpacas. Unfortunately, all they do is kind of spit at one another. But every time you say that, I need to have some kind of a signature sound effect that I do. But no,
I understand when they see you, they go, "Dad."
Oh boy, this is not our
Nine.
Dad joke, oh, Todd. No, but. Yeah, the weather cooled off here, too. We're sitting in the 70s, low 70s. I'm not outside, though. I am confined to my my office here because I let my phone get down to 6%, so I got to let it charge up for a bit. Nonetheless, I'm looking forward to a good show. Yeah, let's do it.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard, Stephen. And, you know, when it comes down to animal sounds, I can make some pretty good animal sounds, so I'm going to go ahead and give you one right here, man. I'm going to do a giraffe. Are you ready? Here it goes. That was pretty goddamn good, wasn't it?
I thought it was going to be something where we'd be with the effect of, oh, did somebody step on a duck?
Yeah. Exactly what
That'll
I thought.
That'll be later on. Yeah, give me a little bit after a beer or two, and I'm sure I'll be in the mood. But, Tim, good to have you aboard this evening. Great to have you on board. Now,
thank you.
Close to Brother Tim, shuffling around in parts unknown, skulking in the alleyways, maybe trying to find a wayward hot pocket to eat tonight. My good brother and anchorman, Todd, what's up?
Man, I hope everybody's doing well. I'm doing outstanding. The supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And look, you sorry pumpkin spice loving mofos. You are just, man, man, I ain't the right one. What is it, September 22nd being the last day of summer or some trash? Let that stuff happen. However, the one thing I will say about September is the first month with that legendary R, especially at the end of it, starts becoming oyster season again. Just saying. That old
yeah.
People get it. Just saying. The hell with the pumpkin spice. It's about the oysters.
Yeah, any of the burrs are pretty good with me. September, October, November, and December are pretty fair when it comes down to a lot of things. And, like you said, shellfish, the oysters come in good. I think February.
Yep, they're out of that breeding season and all that, so.
Yeah.
Harvest seasons.
Of course, if you've ever been out clamming before, I tell you, you've got to be missing some screws to do clamming and pulling up. The oyster beds are a little different, but you know, when you're doing the clamming, you got to stand in brackish water. And, you know, my rule is if I can't see my feet, I ain't standing in it. So in brackish water, everything lurks. I mean, if there's anything remotely close to a dinosaur these days, it's in brackish water somewhere. And you've got to stand in about knee-deep brackish water and pull that clam, and it'll work you to death. It is some hard-ass work. And... But for me, standing in knee-deep brackish water is where I have to tap out, because there's snakes and eels and gators and Christ knows what else floating around in the waters around here.
Those eastern lizard fish, man, those are things of a nightmare just to look at. And
yeah,
it's not,
man,
like they'll have all your toes and stuff like that, but boy, you can't imagine them not doing it.
Yeah, because they got that, like, that drop jaw on them and everything, and those big bug-ass eyes, and you're like, no, I'm good. No thanks. I'll just stay in the boat. How about I steam the damn things for you later? That'll be my part. Anyhow, great to have you aboard, Todd, as always. Appreciate it. You showing up this evening, as we all are about beat to death tired tonight. Work lately has been rather vicious on all of us here at Pop Culture Stars over the last month or two, but I can dare say that we are all in better places now than what we were, say, 2 or 3 years ago when it comes down to working. So we'll take our lumps and move on. So, speaking of work, tonight's topic, you know, I'm having the contract for the schools with my business and everything out there today, and I'm watching the parents scramble up, and they're trying to get their kids enrolled at the last minute and whatever, and... As I'm out there working with my son, who is really kicking ass, I got to tell you, Rob is really, really, I mean, for a young man who has no knowledge of the business, I tell you what, he is getting it. I can't say how proud I am of that young man, but I tell you, he has been saving the day for me. But nevertheless, as I'm watching these parents, you know, go back and forth and back and forth, and I look over at Rob, and I kind of snicker, and I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad my kids are out of school. I am so glad that my kids are graduated and doing their own thing now, because I hated school as a child. Well, school was a drag. I didn't like it, which led to me clowning around and being a wise ass in most of my classes, which didn't get me over too well. But I thought when I got out of school that, you know what, I'm done with this stuff, never going to look back. But then when my kids started going to school, I'm telling you, it sucked. And for a thousand reasons. And as I'm watching these, you get on Facebook and everybody's posting pictures of their kids going to school for the first day and all this kind of jazz. I know there's people out there who celebrate the fact that the kids are going back to school. I never did. Even when Rob was a little guy, he was always like my sidekick. And him going back to school kind of left like a little emptiness with me. But some of the stuff that go on when you're a parent with the schools, it's just, and especially the starting back to school when you get the supply list and, oh, my God. I mean, you knew you were going to be in for like $300, $400 in school supplies. And then they come home with another $100 worth of damn bills in the disguise of fees, which, truth be told, that should be what my taxes are doing. But we're too busy giving my tax money away to foreign countries and foreign non-American people. So, yes, I have to pay fees for my child to go to school. Nevertheless, I'm going to kick it over there to you guys. Tim, I think you're the only one in the group who still has youngins in the schoolhouse. So what say you?
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, I was going to bring up the school supplies and say that, you know, it starts before school even starts, because you get the dreaded list, and you're right. I think I racked the price tag up to about 300 or so. That was for two.
Damn.
So yeah, that's before anything starts. But you know, you're talking about when they go and everything. I just, you know, kind of the same thing, but I just hate that they, because like you, I always think about me when I was growing up, and I dreaded it. I hated that, you know, just that first day and everything. I mean, I got it when you could get, like, maps at the school and figure out where you were going, outline it and study it before you went, then you were good to go. And that's what I teach. That's what I was teaching Tanner. You know, I said, look at a map, make your outline, and then you know right where to go. You don't even look like you're, because he started intermediate school this year. So, you know, but it's the same thing. I mean, just kind of the, I'm always glad when the first couple of days, you know, are under the belt now. So, like, my kids are a week into it, so kind of slowly but surely getting into the routine of things and you know, whatnot. But, yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. It's rough.
yeah.
I don't wish the life away. I like having them young and everything. It's great. But I'm telling you what, when I don't have to worry about school anymore and the late school buses that come by and all the – I mean, we've had the school bus situation is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. I could you know, ramble on about our transportation system, but there's no need for that. But, yeah, that's my kickoff to the conversation.
It is. It's, I recall a couple, well, I say a couple of years, it's been long ago. It's probably been a good 10. Hell, Rob was, let's say Rob was 7th, 8th grade. And with me managing Sam's Club, you know, I was blessed with a decent living. I was making good money. And, you know, here I am managing a warehouse club and all this kind of jazz. So they get the supply list in. So me, I roll my sleeves up, and instead of, you know, just buying the bare minimum, I buy the Sam-sized things of all of Rob's supplies. So here I am, you know, beating on my chest, feeling like, you know, I'm saving the world with my donations. And get in there, and I asked the teacher, I said, hey, you know, good morning. You know, my name's Dave Atwell. It's my son, Rob. You know, I brought, you know, the supplies, but I wanted to kind of step it up a little bit. And, you know, managed Sam's Club, and I brought the big boxes and this, that, and the other. I hope it helps. And she says, oh, that's wonderful, Mr. Atwell. Thank you for doing that. If you would, just put it in that closet over there for me. I said, oh, okay, no problem. I opened up this closet. You remember the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark? When they're rolling the Lost Ark? I mean, this closet had, I mean, it was like a subsidiary of Kimberly-Clark. There were more tissues and pencils and erasers and loose leaf notebooks. I was like, holy shit. Did Office Max take a shit in here or what, man? My God. And I'm thinking to myself, y'all hit us up for all this loot, and it's right freaking there. What is going on here, you know? So, I mean, I just hit the roof. I come home and I told Dale, I says, this will be the last time I try to be the Good Samaritan. I said, from now on, he goes to school with one pencil, one piece of paper, one damn notebook. Why? Because I know they've got a hot million of it over there at the damn school. I mean, it was incredible. In the meantime,
well, try being a single parent like me at the time my son was going through school, and my son was being treated horribly in the school system. He was bullied all of his life. Teachers didn't care. My mom gave him money to buy pencils from the school store one day. And this kid tells the teacher that my son stole his pencil when my son bought that pencil with the money that my mother gave him. And the teacher made my son give that boy the pencils that my son had bought. I mean, I could tell you horror stories of how my son was treated in growing up in school. I mean, let's put it this way. By the time my son got to be a senior in high school, if I had not helped him with a couple of his classes, he probably would have never graduated. That's how bad the school system was. And he was in resource all of his life in school. Now, some of his resource teachers were wonderful. Some of his teachers, his PE teacher was horrible. My son had broken his ankle, and he had a doctor's note. He was on crutches, and the PE teacher was going to flunk my son if he didn't play flag football.
Well, for crying out loud. Yeah, that ain't hard to believe.
You know, and it was horrible. I mean, it was absolutely awful. And here's another kicker. We were in a school meeting one day, and I don't even know who all was in there now, the principal, assistant, whatever. They were talking about my son like he was not even in the room, saying things to the fact, well, we're not going to hold him back because of his age and because of his size. Now go figure that.
Yeah, and talking like he's not even there, but yet he's sitting right next to him. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Not surprising. Now, Todd, I know you just recently, you're not too far out of a graduation. You're probably, what, about 4 or 5 years out of a graduation, right? If I'm doing my math correctly.
Yeah, something like that. Yep. School system, I'm trying not to say shit. There are always some damn good teachers. I'm flabbergasted with I don't know, some of these little things like, what the hell happened when at one point our education system didn't need advanced classes for people to be qualified to go to college and score kick-ass grades. But now, I don't know, last time anybody took the time to read some of the memos that various teachers do and send home, they can't be bothered to spell check. They can't be bothered to grammar check. They can't. It was just, yeah. It's,
yeah. Yeah, you got to kind of wonder when you get notes home and they don't have proper grammar, and it's like, what teacher is this from? Well, it's my English teacher.
Although, I got to tell you, I had a talk with some of the staff members yesterday because there were different tenses in the sentence, and the grammar check didn't catch it.
But you did, right?
Oh yeah. I sat there and I looked. And I knew I saw something wrong, and it wasn't necessarily twigging. And I'm like, okay, wait, what the hell? And that's why I went to the check, and I didn't see it, and it still looked wrong. So I had to sit there and play around till I found it right. I actually relied on the damn check, and it fouled me. I could feel my IQ dropping using that.
Now, Granny mentioned a minute ago, she threw a word out there, bullying. Bullying's another neat phenomenon in school these days because, you know, when we were in school, the best way to make a bully stop, and my rule used to always be, if you're going to get your ass beat, make them work for it. So, you know, if a bully's going to shove you around and you just kind of fall like a bitch in his arms, then it's going to continue on. But on the flip side, if you go in there and that bully went home tired after beating your ass, chances are that bully is going to move on to somebody else because they're all about soft targets. You never see a cheetah hunt another cheetah. Cheetahs always hunt soft targets. You know, your gazelles and your wounded wildebeest and all that kind of nifty stuff. So, but going back to bullying, bullying in school is a no-go until there's a teacher's conference. I have never. Every time you went to a teacher's conference, regardless of how well your child was doing, it was always like you went in there and it felt like a firing squad. Or it felt like you went in there and you had two teachers holding you and then you had two other teachers punching you in the stomach. My thing is you should never be surprised, and Todd, you work with me long enough, when it comes down like evaluations at work should never be news, if you understand my meaning. Whatever is on your evaluation, you should already know. And they always have the strengths and the weaknesses. You should be able to tell the author of your evaluation exactly what they are, and they will likely match what they've written, correct? I mean, that's But unfortunately, some people take evaluations as an opportunity for the old sucker punch. Well, Dave never this, Dave never that. Well, Dave would if you'd have told him throughout the year. You got to wait till once a year to tell Dave what he's doing wrong, or can you let a brother know what he's doing so he can correct it during the year? So nevertheless, when you get in there for some of these teachers' conferences, and my God, there were some of them with Rob where I just was like, you know, I had to go home and have a drink. And it wasn't that Rob was doing bad. It's just with, you know, with Rob's eyesight and that kind of jazz, it was something else. And, you know, it was funny how you get the teachers saying, well, you know, he's falling back on his schoolwork. Okay, well, where does he sit in your classroom? Well, he sits way the hell back there. Well, you know the kid can't see, right? And then you get that uncomfortable moment of silence, and you're going, okay. Well, y'all go ahead and finish kicking the shit out of my ribs and take my lunch money and move on about my day so I can get on at it. And I don't miss those things at all. God, I don't miss those teachers' conferences. Like I said, Rob's a good kid. Lisa was a good kid till she had her teenage years, and then that was...
Oh, yeah.
And then everything I mean, straight Al-Qaeda operatives, man, when they hit those teenagers.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Now, that's where you're at with all
I'll tell you of a situation. Pair of scissors and snipped my son's ear with a pair of scissors one day in the classroom.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes. And so my dad comes with me to the principal, to the principal's office.
I want to know why you didn't press charges first.
Well,
because if that didn't happen, that is completely 100% your fault.
I know, but supposedly the teacher didn't see the kid do it, supposedly. The parent of the boy that did it, the kid never got in trouble. And my dad went to the principal's office. Now, my dad was pretty much a very quiet man.
And nobody pressed charges. I'm going to mute
Till you piss my dad off, you know. And he asked the principal, he said, what would have happened if my grandson's eye got poked out? And the principal couldn't give him an answer. The principal couldn't give him an answer. You know, that's how bad my son was treated.
Good,
in
grief.
School. I mean, and that was before I even moved to Springdale where I live now in Arkansas. I mean, I was living in another part of Arkansas at that time. I mean, you know, and open houses, I mean, like, his sixth grade teacher, the one that made him give the boy the pencils, it was like an open house, and she was talking about my son to other parents. And I said, and I pulled her aside. I said, if you have a problem with my son, you need to come to me, not talking to other parents about my child.
Wow.
Yeah, that stinks. Yeah, that's...
Well,
I
was going to bring up the, this doesn't really, I could go on and on about, you know, because I think what we were gearing it toward is obviously, you know, our kids going back to school. But you know me, I always try to get creative with it and put a little bend to it. So I'll bounce back a little bit to reflecting upon my days in school. And I think they've come a long way in some areas, but they're just still off in so many others. And I can recall doing things like PE. Now, back when I was in school, it was the largest, North Central was the largest school in the state. And, they had Sergeant Slaughter, as I called him, as the PE instructor. He was also the varsity football coach. And this was kind of like the class that was an easy A for all of the star athletes, you know, and all the big, monstrous, you know, football-playing kids, whatever. They'd take this and excel at everything. Then you had me that I was probably a buck 10 soaking wet. And, you know, I was a toothpick, and it was freshman gym. Now, the guidance counselors, you know, they have alternatives. They can, they're supposed to, like, advocate for the kids, you know, figure out what's going to work, what electives won't, you know, try to tie into something that, that, you know, it's going to help them have a decent experience. They've got this thing called, I think it was Learning Unlimited, like LU, and you could take LU Gym. There were kids that got signed up for this. They would cross the street, go to the YMCA, and, like, fart around for the hour or whatever. And that was their gym credit, and they would get an easy A. But you know what? Mine never did. And I had to take Sergeant Slaughter's gym course. And I got my butt pounded. And, I mean, it was like I was going through boot camp every single day. It was a nightmare. But I've always talked about, I've always talked about guidance counselors and how I wish they would just do a little bit more of what I feel they're supposed to do.
Well, if you think Kim wasn't traumatized, just for the record, he still won't watch the movie Dodgeball.
That is not a true statement. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Now, I'll tell you another thing with school, speaking of when I went, when I was in my senior year, it was my junior year when I fell to pieces, because it was my junior year where, without giving the specific year of the loss of the virginity thing, it was the sophomore year when it happened. But it was towards the end of the sophomore year, which gave me the summer to go totally nuts. And my junior year, I was hanging by a thread when it comes down to keeping things going, because I was too busy chasing the damn women to worry about keeping up with my grades and everything else. And here I was, you know, an athlete and a student, the whole damn nine yards, and I was, like, walking in the classroom, just sitting there, with, you know, slouching in my chair all of a sudden. And so, you know, by the time senior year rolled around, I just wanted out. I just wanted out of school. I was done with it. I was over it. So I get my schedule, and my schedule had, God, it had English 4, Spanish 2, Art 4, calculus, and I was taking masonry. That was another thing I was doing, taking masonry. But I looked at that schedule, and I says, calculus my ass. So I went down to the counselor. And I said, oh, weightlifting was the other one. That's right. I told the counselor, I says, hey, I want out of calculus. Why'd you all put me in this? I got all my math credits. And she says, well, Mr. Atwell, you're not going to take calculus? And I said, no. And she says, well, you're going to need that. You're going to need that for college. And I says, okay, well, what if I don't go to college? All the oxygen left the room, you know. Well, you know, that's not a very good way to look at things. Regardless of whether I go to college or not, this is not in my future. So can I please kindly be removed from calculus and just give me like a study hall or two weightliftings or something to that effect? So, of course, come home, share the news with my folks. Dad was overseas. Mom was just like, you know, anything when it come down to remotely tapping out was not allowed in the Atwell household. So, you know, I was the bad kid there for a little bit. So be that as it may, study hall moved on with my life. So here I am. Graduated in 88, so I'm thinking to come up on my, This is what, I just passed 34 years out, if I'm doing my math correctly. I'm coming up next year on my 35th reunion from graduation, and I could tell everybody out there with every shred of honesty that I have never needed calculus as an adult. So, it's some of the curriculum that these schools throw. I always wondered why schools never taught, and I've always preached this for years, and I would call the class practical knowledge, PK for short. In the PK class, what do you learn? You learn how to tie a Windsor knot in a tie. You learn how to change a tire. You learn how to fill out a resume. You learn how to do a job interview. You learn how to balance a checkbook. Of course, we don't do that shit now, but you learn how to brown hamburger. Christ, if you couldn't do that, you can't have a man with your hamburger helper, right, Todd? So all these little things, sewing on a button, all these little things that you run into as adults on a daily basis, you come out of high school a lot of times and you can give somebody the square root of a number, but you can't really find your ass with either one of your hands when it comes down to life. And I think sometimes with students, we're somewhat unfair to them because we don't teach them enough. We're so hell-bent on getting grades correct and, he brought home a C in algebra. Oh, my God. Oh, we need to. God damn, they're shooting off fireworks next door. He brought home a C in algebra. Oh, my God. My kid needs to be in an institution. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you drop him when he's a child. But in the meantime, you're doing just fine. It's just maybe algebra ain't your bag for whatever reason. Maybe the teacher's teaching it is not your bag. And, so you get out in the real world, and you can't balance a checkbook, but you can find the value of X. 2 times X = 6. You can figure that out. But when it comes down to managing your finances as an 18-year-old, or worse yet, an 18-year-old in college.
I got a better one for you.
Hit me.
Nowadays, apparently, they don't teach cursive. So, if you were just to say the cursive is going to go away, all right, whatever. But how are people going to sign checks? How are people going to sign documents if they don't know cursive? My kids, I don't know if they're learning cursive. No joke.
How are they going to read a photocopy of the Constitution?
Exactly.
For the Declaration of Independence.
Good point.
You're absolutely right. Because they'll only be able to read something that has somebody else has manipulated.
Right. And it has to be in Times Roman font. So, to your point, Todd, you can actually omit
Courier.
Or add words to the Constitution, and you wouldn't be any wiser because you can't read it for yourself. And when it comes down
let's say somebody doesn't, let's say it's in a legit oops, still, just saying.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. I've just always wondered how...
In class too, because that's the one that's the one I got a problem with. Gym class, really? You're going to judge every single kid, and maybe they don't do it this way anymore, but they did with me. It didn't matter what size you were. You got graded on the amount of probably like the core. Todd. But you got graded on the amount of pull-ups you could do, the amount of chin-ups you could do. They didn't, you know, say, oh, well, you're a little guy. You only have to do a couple. I got D's, man, because I was one of the most physically or unathletic, dude. Now, contrary to what Todd said, I kicked ass at dodgeball. I really did because I was smart. I hid behind everybody at first, and then as they went out, I'd be the last one standing, and everybody would be rallying me on. So I had some strategy in that game. I love dodgeball. That one I was good at.
Method.
I didn't catch what you said.
Human shield.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's important to see how many pull-ups somebody can do and give them a grade on it before they can graduate. But you know what? Let's stop teaching cursive. We don't need that.
Yeah, right. I just wonder.
Actually, something in the spirit of the what it was originally intended. The schedule changes, the back to school, everybody dealing with everything. The one thing, one of the fondest memories we had an indoor-outdoor cat. And when the school buses were cycling, that cat would sit at the end of the driveway waiting for when the bus would drop the kids off at the bus stop, waiting for the kid to get off the bus, and then it would go part way to meet, you know, the kid, because bus stop was just down the street a wee bit. And but that cat was waiting at the end of the driveway every day, listening for the buses.
No kid.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they're able to do that. It's like they have a watch or something, and they know exactly what time in the afternoon.
Oh,
you know,
they hear. They pay attention. They, you know, the pattern of noises and stuff like that. But, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hobbs was definitely down there waiting for the kids to come back.
Now, another thing that has kind of changed when it comes down to the tradition of going back to school compared to when I was in is the last hoorah you had for summertime. Because, see, the youngins now, they go back like the week before Labor Day. And I agree and disagree with that program. The good side of it is that you get all the rigor of getting into school out of the way, so that way when you come back from Labor Day weekend, it's like hitting the ground running type thing when it comes down to your learning. The bad side of it is you actually get doinked out of a damn week's worth of your summer vacation. Nevertheless, when I was in school, the last hoorah, we always started on Tuesday after Labor Day weekend. So the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon, you would come on. And that was your last shot at staying up late, you know, raising a little bit of hell and everything. This is back before, you know, you started drinking and all the good stuff, but you know, you would sit up, and you'd try your ass off to sit through the whole thing, all 24 hours of it. And, you know, you'd be in and out of consciousness and everything. Because, I mean, back in the day, and Tim, I don't know if you were around, Frank, because I know it kind of petered out.
Yep. No, I watched
but
it.
Man,
you're right, I did, but I watched it, and it's, I mean, I don't know if you want to say prime. I'm pretty sure it, I don't know when it started, but Jerry Lewis is still doing his thing. He was still on there most of the time. I watched it with my grandmother. I would go up there on Labor Day weekend. That was, a few years, maybe a tradition, I guess. It's not like it was a constant thing. But, yes, I remember it well. I'd stay up till about – I was probably doing good to get midnight, 1 o'clock, and then I'd crash, and then I'd wake up and we'd have it on the next day. Yep.
And you'd
I remember.
To, you know, and you know, Sinatra would get out there, and I'm trying to remember who else, but used to have all kinds of stuff on there. And, you know, so you stayed up all night Sunday night going into Monday, because Monday night, mom's busting your balls. It's a school night. You've got to get to bed at 5:30 at night. Thank God, how are you going to get up if you don't go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? And so you knew that was your last shot at your summertime annex, having no bedtime because it's a school day, none of that kind of jazz. And now, I mean, you know, of course, Jerry Lewis has passed, but nevertheless, it's kind of funny how the whole muscular dystrophy thing, it's like when he quit doing it, muscular dystrophy quit doing it. And I'm like, guys, I know Jerry Lewis was like the heart of the thing, but can't you find like Ryan Seacrest or somebody to keep it going? I mean, it, obviously the
still do
obviously
it for, like,
the condition hasn't gone away, you know?
Do they not do it at all? Because I thought they shortened it once and maybe did it for just like, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a true telethon if they did that, but I was thinking they did a fundraiser for, I don't know, I could be making that up, seriously. Todd knows how whacked out my brain gets, so I don't know, maybe I'm making that up. I thought that they tried to do it for a little bit after he passed, but it was like a really condensed version of it. I don't know.
I don't even know if they do telethons anymore. I mean, has anybody seen one recently? I can't remember last time I saw a telethon.
Nope.
I can't remember last time I saw one.
Yeah. Of course, nowadays, everything's crowdfunder, that kind of jazz. Go online, go through the GoFundMe and that kind of stuff. But, God, I remember that. He used to have a panel of people answering the phone. The phones were lighting up. And I'm like, I wonder how many of those people are actually not talking to somebody, but they're trying to make it look good.
Yeah.
Look at them. The phones are blowing up. Yeah, they've got a whole $17 for the last hour, you know.
It'd be funny if you were one of the persons answering the phone and somebody, like, dared you to do something drastic, like when they have the camera on you, just jump up real quick and go, sell, 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 like you're a stockbroker on the phone or something. You'd never be invited
everybody
back to do it again, but it'd be funnier now.
But, man, I remember Jerry Lewis, he would come out there, and God bless the guy. I mean, he would go in there for the whole 24 hours. And, you know, he'd start off, and his tux looked like $1 million and everything, and everybody was dressed to the nines. And then come about maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, the old bow tie was undone, the cummerbund was off, you know, hair all screwed up, you know. The only one that still looked sharp was Sinatra. Sinatra never let it slip, but even Ed McMahon looked a little shabby there towards the end of the show every time. But I remember
now
they would bring on. I mean, they hit
say,
like
I think
34
I would take naps. Like he would take breaks or something. I thought is what I remember. But again, I'm you know I'm a little bit younger and I could be remembering the tail end of his good days, you know. But it seems like there in the middle of the night or somewhere on Monday, he'd have to take five. You wouldn't see him for a couple hours, and then he'd be coming back.
And little Ed McMahon hold it, you know, and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones used to be on there. It was a bunch. If you watch the if you watch Match Game, the old reruns of the game show, that's probably half the ones that were on there. But it was, I want to say Phyllis Diller would go on there, and there was Ed McMahon would always be on there. Sinatra.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who would get on there. I want to say Tom Jones would get on there, but for some reason I don't feel like that's right.
What's terrible is I honestly can't remember either. I mean, I know he would have like music acts and things like that, but I don't know. I'm kind of drawing a blank too.
they'd raised like $34 million, and everybody was like, oh, my God, $34 million. Nowadays, $34 million and gets you like two aspirin and a Band-Aid. You know?
Yeah, well, I kind of Googled it, guys, on the Labor Day telethon. They did a shortened version of it in 2010, and then it was 2011 when Jerry Lewis quit hosting the, you know, Labor Day telethon. But I don't even know if they actually even do it anymore. I mean, I think in 2020, I think they did it with different celebrities, you know, other celebrities doing it, but it wasn't like a full, you know, it was more of a condensed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more of a condensed version, you know, of it after, you know, he died. But, I mean, but they, I think he did it from, like, he started in 1966 up until, like, 2010 when they did a shortened version of it. Is what I've read when I Googled it, so.
Yeah, they'd break away and go to your local. The local news thing would carry it, and you'd be busting your
balls. They would have their own, right?
Before they call her name out, you know. You'd be sitting up for hours waiting for the call, and $10 from the Atwell family in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And of course we'd all be in the house like, oh shit, they called us out, man. In the meantime, my mom was out of $10.
Yeah, we did the same. I went to school with a kid. I didn't know him from Adam. I don't think I ever spoke one word to him, but. It was very apparent because, you know, he had a service dog and he couldn't walk at all. So he had the full setup wheelchair, you know, where he could navigate. I'm pretty sure it was like a joystick or something. But anyway, I can't even remember what his name was, but he was on the local station one year. And he said, you know, I challenge all the students at Eastwood Middle School. And I was like, hell yeah. So I got on the phone and I said, accepting so-and-so's challenge, and I don't know, donated $10 or something like that. I don't think I remember getting my name called, though. I think they, in our neck of the woods, they might have saved that for the ones that gave a little bit more. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Because maybe they did it, but it wasn't like a consistent, you know, they get on there maybe for a couple minutes and be like, okay, and recently here we've got Bob who donated, you know. They did a little bit, but it wouldn't be like everyone. Now, I don't know. I'm sure it would depend on, like, the size of the syndicate's not the right word. I'm trying to think, like, local network, you would have to, because, you know, Terre Haute, those networks are small. For some reason, we watch Terre Haute. That's all we can pick up right now with this stupid streaming TV. So it's nothing like the Indianapolis channels here, and maybe that's the difference. I don't know, like, where you grew up, but... Yeah, so never had my name called, but that was pretty cool. Though.
That was another thing that sucked about going back to school was having a bedtime. And, of course, my folks, you know, as I've alluded to plenty of times here on the show, you know, Dad was a sergeant major, Mom was a school teacher, so everybody had to be in the rack by 8 o'clock. And then going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, going into high school and everything, everything was lights out 9 o'clock in the evening. I mean, everything shut down at the Atwell house. And so, you know, here I am, 15-year-old kid. I was like, Jesus Christ, man, I'm 15 years old. You know, I'm and the nights that I work, because I bagged groceries at a grocery store at the time. The nights that I worked, hell, I wouldn't get home till like midnight. It was okay then, but if I wasn't working, my tail had to be in bed at 9. I'm like, what the hell is going on with this? So when you're a kid, though, and you really ain't got any voice, when you're a teenager, you can kind of start managing things, self-managing things a little better. But when you're 8, 9 years old, what's bad is all summer long, you get to sit up and watch all these cool shows that come on at 9 o'clock. Because back in the 80s, 70s, and 80s, all the cool shows didn't come on until 9. Like, you
Mind
guys
device.
Remember that? Yeah, you remember That's Incredible? Where they used to have the real stories about people?
Yes, I believe so. The name sounds awfully familiar.
John Davidson was on it.
Refer to that as That's Inevitable.
Isn't that what it was? That's Incredible? Cause they
it
gave
was,
the people
but
the
that's why we referred to it. You're right. It wasn't all that.
Ah. But, man, I thought that show was cool as hell. Come on at 9 o'clock. School's kicked in. Couldn't watch it no more. I'm like, what kind of crap is this? And then go to school the next day, and all the kids at school are going, dude, did you see what happened on That's Incredible last night? No. Bedtime's at 9, guys. Don't make me remind you of this every week. Come on now. Yeah, there was what was the other one? Was it Real People? Sarah Purcell and Skip. Ah, God. And then there was Mike Rafferty. Where they had people in the United States that just do odd things. And they go out there and interview them and have them on the show. Real People, I think it was what it was called. That was another one. Came on as Knight Rider. Hasselhoff.
Knight Rider. So, Airwolf.
Dukes of Hazzard. 9 o'clock. All this stuff come on at 9.
Yeah, I liked Airwolf more than I liked Knight Rider, and that ain't saying much.
Ah, there you go. Good call.
Well, Tim said that. Airwolf.
Yeah. Well. Trying to think of some other. I was a big A-Team fan. A-Team was the shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
A-Team.
God. Yeah, not exactly.
What? You didn't like the A-Team? Oh, Todd.
Nope.
I love the A-Team. The stuff that always – I mean, it was repetitive, but it was still fun to watch what they were going to come up with. They'd build a cannon out of, a couple of used shoes and a wheel, like a shopping cart or something, and find some warehouse and build some shit. And funny because they'd always have this elaborate plan that they'd come up with, and then they would, execute for a while. They're kicking ass and taking names, but then all of a sudden their plan gets foiled. But then something by the luck of whatever, somehow they turn out, they get the bad guys in the end. So it was kind of repetitive, but still, man, I love that show.
What was the other show that was like that, where the guy would make a bomb out of a paperclip?
MacGyver?
That's it.
Yeah.
That
I
was
also like
the guy who...
I know is last time I went somewhere with zip ties and damn duct tape, I got a lot of questions from people in uniform.
Yeah, the FBI wanted to know. Just remember, if you're buying supplies for a crime, always pay for it in cash. Don't never use your ATM card because then they could trace this shit back. Not that I would know.
Somewhere in there, there's a joke, a Jim Gaffigan joke about walking along a trail, like out in the middle of nowhere and freaking people out that are walking by. Like, I can't remember the way he words it, so I won't even try to. But just basically the intent is to freak out whoever you pass and make them think you're some kind of a serial killer, making like a reference to your wife or something. I can't remember what he did, but puts me in the mind of it. Something Todd would do, with duct tape and zip ties.
I don't know. Zip ties are phenomenal. I love those things. Todd will tell you over there at the club, I was the zip tie maniac. I would go into the cash office and zip tie the scissors together.
Oh,
Because whenever somebody sees a zip tie, the first thing they do is run for the damn scissors. Well, I would zip tie the damn scissors together and then zip tie something else. Kevin was on a conference call, my partner in the business now. I got my hands on some of these heavy-duty zip ties, and I'm talking...
Oh, I know those heavy-duty ones there.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, Kevin is like Mr. Salty the Pretzel Man. He ain't no bigger round than, you know, he's 32-inch waist. So he's sitting on a chair, and he don't fill the chair out, right? So he's on a conference call, and he's leaning on the desk, and he ain't got no love handles over top of his pants like the rest of us do. So the little loops on his britches are well exposed. So I stand behind him, and I just real easy, and I just run that zip tie through his britches and around the backside of the chair. And just about the time he turned around and look, all he hears is that sound of that zip tie coming up tight. I zip tied his ass right to that chair and walked out of the office and left him. I don't think there's anything that Kevin owns that I haven't zip tied to something one time or another. Because we used to prank the shit out of one another with zip ties. Oh my God. Whoever invented those things was a genius. I love some zip ties. That is like new millennia duct tape. You know what I mean? Good stuff.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's another thing. You really want to get some questions, have candy with you when you got the zip ties and duct tape.
I guess I need to trade this white van in that I've been driving around in, huh? Starting to get a little conspicuous.
Yeah.
I still love the meme that the inside of the van, it's a picture of a damn van, and it's inside, and it's absolutely hollowed out, and across the middle it says, there ain't no candy in here. That's great.
All right, so I'll circle back around and give you another one. As an adult, the back-to-school thing that's kind of just sucky. That's going to the actual meet-the-teacher night. It's like, come on, give me a break. Y'all funnel in this classroom. You got to sit in the chairs that are made for, you know, kids in the fifth grade. They're uncomfortable. My tailbone is, you know, hurting real bad from sitting on it. It's so uncomfortable. You got this little sheet of paper. You're supposed to be able to read the board she's, you know, written stuff on. And the whole time, she was basically late. And then, yes, I'm speaking to this year specifically because we just did it this week. So they're waiting for all the parents to trickle in. So, you know, we don't start on time. And I swear everyone's gossiping like they're back in school. And it's like, oh, my God, I'm having flashbacks in here. Just get me out. It's like I almost have a panic attack having to go to that. And I got another one coming up for older one for Rachel, too. So just another little, you know, something you deal with every year.
Yeah, those things are always uncomfortable for me. As, you know, as much as I was used to human contact when managing the club and everything, it was going to those orientation things. I always felt out of place. I always felt like, I just didn't feel like me. And then, you know, what was worse is that, you know, going back to Rob's thing, not being able to see, you know, I would have to have that teacher's attention for a moment because I would have to tell every teacher that he had, hey, he's Stevie Wonder. Can you make sure he sits right here? You know, and you always felt like you had to be the crusader every time you went in there. And, and then me, I was always the guy that was in there, you know, when we had those things, I would go in a tie, you know, slacks and a tie and all that kind of jazz. Hey, you got teachers walking in there, you got, you know, parents walking in there, flip-flops, booty shorts, tank tops, and you're like, okay. And people start walking up to you and going, can you tell me where the mass hall's at? Damned if I know. I'm a parent. I just dressed for the occasion where you did, you know. It's a very nice school you have here, principal. I'm not the principal. Thanks for asking. Have you ever gone in there and met some of your kids' teachers? And then after your kids go to bed that night, you walk up to your wife and you go, hey, you know his science teacher? She's a goddamn screwball. I don't know how many times we'd have the old office pool. Me and Dale would be like, okay, which ones do you think is going to give them the hard time this year? I'm going to put my money on the social studies teacher. Okay, all right, that's a good pick. I'm going to put mine on the math teacher, you know, because you knew there was only going to be one.
I'll tell you what's weird for me is how young they are. I literally, because our older kids, there's quite a big age gap between our older kids and our younger kids. And I think both of the main teachers that Tanner has, I haven't met Rachel's yet, both the teachers that Tanner has are younger than I think all of my older kids. I mean, it's kind of like, are you sure you're old enough to be teaching here? Like, shouldn't you be walking the halls at the high school across the street?
Well, I'm amazed at the high school, the amount of young teachers at the high school. And, you know, not anything disparaging. If that's their career course, then, you know, by God, knock yourself out. But I can remember when I went to school, when I was in high school, those teachers were like the waitress at the Last Supper. I mean, you know, they taught you about the Magna Carta, and they can actually tell you what it was like to be there when it was signed. You know what I mean? It was, okay, today we're going to go on ancient Sumerian culture. I brought some of my artifacts from the house. It's like, holy shit. But I know we were spraying a high school last week, and Rob disappeared on me. And I was like, where in the hell did he go, man? What's going on? I turn around and look. He's holding the doors open for the teachers. They were moving stuff. He was holding the doors open. And I'm like, dude, we got to pressure wash this thing, man. You ain't got time to be holding the doors. Well, I see why he was holding the doors for them, because they couldn't have been much more than about 24, 25. And he's 23. Yeah. Hell yeah, I'm holding the door too. It's like, all right, everybody's in. I'll do all the work. Go ahead and get you some. It's all good. Yeah, all the damn teachers I had in school. As a matter of fact, it's kind of odd, because every now and then I will hear about a teacher that I had in high school that had just recently passed away, and I feel bad about it. But the first thought that comes to mind is, God damn, they're still alive. You know what I mean? Because they were, you know, pounding Social Security when I was there. And, but, you know, to that extent, I do keep up several of my football coaches I keep up with. One in particular I keep up very, very tight. Fantastic gentleman, Coach Stevens. I love the guy. His friendship is something that I cherish, because if a gentleman of his stature keeps up with me in my adult life, that means I did something correct, because a guy like him wouldn't associate with somebody of low esteem. And oddly enough, when Rob was in high school, Coach Stevens was doing some substitute teaching. He retired, and like everybody else who retires, can never really fully get away from the craft. And he was substitute teaching, so he's calling a roll one day, and he's like, and he's first thing he sees the last name, and he looks over, and Coach Stevens, pretty intimidating guy, and coach says, Robert. Rob says, here. He goes, think I know your daddy. And Rob just kind of sat up in his chair and he goes, your dad's a fine man, Dave, correct? Rob's like, yes, sir. He goes, good friend of mine, good man. I'm sure you're going to do the same thing he does, correct? Rob's like, yes, sir. So, of course, you know, Rob comes home and says, hey, there's a Coach Stevens that wanted me to tell you hi. I was like, oh, shit, where'd you see him, you know? But you ever run up on a teacher you had in school and, like, later on in your adult life, you run up on them in, like, the store or something and you feel like you should apologize to them?
Not for every 11 minutes.
No, actually, the last teacher I ran into, oh, God, when the hell was it? Man, it was a long time ago. And it had been a while. Ran into him. Actually bounced into him at, y'all are sitting, right? He ran into him at church, and we're talking, and he's like, man, he goes, how long you home on leave for, man? You want to go out and go fishing?
No kidding.
It's just, yeah, really a different relationship. He's one of those ones that grab in some extra credits between changing schools and the formats for what was required and that kind of stuff. So I hired him as a tutor for an art credit. And but yeah, and he was like, hey, let's go fishing.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting, guys. Last year when I went to my class reunion, it was supposed to have been our 40th, but because of COVID, we couldn't have it the year before, so it was really 41 years. But the first night of the little get-together that we had at the Knights of Columbus
building.
Just
for the record, two zeros or a zero and a one after that, that's 400 or 401.
Well, I'm 41st.
And
okay, whatever.
Comes
okay.
Out.
No. Granny Wolfpack, don't start that Todd Saxon. You'll get
what
in trouble
ben
with me.
What was Ben Franklin really like?
I don't know. I was born in 62, guys, okay? I'll be 60 on the 29th of this month. So, you know, that was way before my time.
14.
But anyways, what I was saying 1862, was...
1862, that's on the Civil War time,
no,
wasn't it?
No, 1962 is when I was born, Tim. But anyways, going back to my conversation,
1462,
we had,
she snowed
we
away
had,
with Columbus in 1492.
We had one of our, she was our PE teacher, and the basketball coach came to our little get-together that first night that we had the little get-together at our class reunion. We had one of our coaches there and the PE teacher there, hanging out with all of us, and that was kind of fun, so.
Nice.
Yeah, it's always good to see everybody doing well. I know sometimes you go to these reunions, and sometimes it's kind of depressing because you go there, and it's funny. Last summer, we had a big White Oak. It was kind of like a, you know, like a 8-year amalgam where if you graduated in the 80s, show up type thing. And my mom and dad, my mom specifically, still has all my yearbook from like the 7th grade right on up. So I went over there and I says, you still got my yearbooks? And she goes, yeah. It's almost like she didn't want to cough them up, you know. And I says, I kind of need those things. And she's like, what for? And I said, well, I said, got this reunion. I need to start brushing up on some damn names. I says, I can't remember half of these damn people. And when I went to that little mini reunion we had 2 years ago, I says, I hardly knew any damn buddy or couldn't recognize anybody. And
but you're not going to recognize anybody.
Yeah, you know, we all put on weight. We all get gray. We all get wrinkled up, that kind of nifty stuff. But, you know, you see some of the folks in school that, you know, the ones that the girls were all falling all over, and you see them now, and you're like, God damn. Has he got a frozen Han Solo hanging up in his living room? You know? God, Jesus Christ. How many frozen burritos did he put down between graduation and now, you know? And you go there and you see some folks and you're kind of, sometimes, you know, it works out good because you see guys have done well for themselves and it kind of gives that warm fuzzy knowing that they've, you know, moved on and done wonderful things. But then there's some of them you're like, damn, you know, kind of gets you in the gut sometimes knowing that, you know, life didn't treat them too kindly, you know.
Well, I got a funny story to tell. I got a funny story to tell you guys about one of my class reunions that we went to. It was at the Riverfront Center there in downtown, you know, Leavenworth, Kansas, where, you know, I lived and everything. Well, one of the guys.
So you graduated from Leavenworth?
Yeah, Leavenworth Senior High School. But I was never in the penitentiary, Todd Saxon. I was never in, okay? I was never in.
I didn't
say
you were. I just asked a question.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so there was a guy there, and he was having kind of way too much fun that night. He'd been drinking a little bit too much. And he was standing outside by the bushes. There was a area of bushes there, and he was standing there. And he went to go do his thing, you know, because he couldn't make it inside to go to the bathroom to take a pee, you know. And just as he was getting ready to pee into the bushes, this big old train came by the train track next to the big wall and blew its horn, and that guy, he jumped back so far. David was just standing outside, kind of weak, and the guy said, he jumped back so far. Stirred it so bad. That train was zooming by, blew his whistle. And I was inside.
Wait, is that a euphemism about it? Blew his whistle?
Well, the guy was, David came in, he says, I just saw something funny. And I said, what? He told me what happened. And I said, oh my God. But it scared the guy so bad that he jumped back and He nearly tripped over the bench that was one of the benches that was outside on the patio.
I like it.
That'll get
you
down
like
with
it. There are so many bits off of that.
But yeah, I mean, it was funny. I mean, David was just standing there just kind of, you know, just enjoying the fresh air, and he wasn't really paying attention to what the guy was doing, but when that train came whizzing by, he blew its horn. That guy
chucked the train
out
came
the
whizzing
bushes.
By. Nice.
Well, you know, it was funny. I mean, it was funny, you know. But, so I mean, I just thought that was kind of comical
to
share
it's
with
much
you,
funnier
you guys.
Now, I'm just saying.
Not like the good old pee joke.
I thought you all would get a kick out of that one, guys. You know, so.
Oh my God! Blue's
that's
whistle, whistling by. I love it. Oh man!
Yeah, like my husband said, the old moral story: just don't go being by the railroad track, you know, or near a railroad track.
Hey, you want to make sure that chain is coming. Well, gang, I tell you what, we are getting to that mark. Before we go into extra innings, we got about 10 minutes left. So I reckon we'll go ahead and stick a fork in this turkey, kick it around the room, have our parting shots before the British lady starts taunting me on time. So Granny Hulk, so we're going to start with you, young lady. What kind of parting shots do you have this evening?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week and just be good to each other and take care of each other and just, you know, love each other, you know. And
absolutely. Take care of one
yes,
another.
Ma'am.
Well said. Great
yes,
to have you
ma'am.
Aboard, Decision. Appreciate
thank
you joining
you,
us,
you.
As always. Good to have you here.
God, great
now,
story.
Tim.
That was funny.
Talk to me. What kind of parting shots do you have?
Well, I don't have much to say. Same old stuff, you know, doing the day-to-day routine, trying to, you know, it's the last stretch of summer, so trying to wrap up any of the projects I got going on outside, that kind of thing. Got my mom's 80th birthday coming up, so my brother, I think he's probably going to be able to come on for that. So that'll be cool to get together this Saturday. I did want to give a little bit of a, and I'll be if the right word is ambiguous. You know, don't want to name anybody who doesn't want to be named. But Todd and I do have a coworker who family member was in a pretty bad car accident. So I know it's been rough last, but this is pretty fresh. I think it was two nights ago, Todd, really when it went down. But anyway, it was one where they had to medevac and lifeline to Indianapolis. So we don't have any updates, but just wanted to throw it out there. You know, everybody keep him and his family in your thoughts and prayers. Definitely are. So just, you know, that's kind of a thing going on right now that's weighing heavy on my heart. So I just I wish him all the best. So that's all I got.
I'm going to kind of double down with that one. Look, no matter how much we bitch, whine, moan, and complain the way things are, just wait. Sure enough, things can get worse. And we're watching it for some of the people we know and love going on around us right now. Tim referred to one of the situations. I ain't going to say the name here, but that particular muggle has more than once sent hazed me with pictures of stuff he was cooking on the grill and things like that. Hell of a good guy. One of the people we all know and love and have done plenty of podcasts with just had a loss in their family. And there's a bunch of this stuff going on around us. And it's not easy. Stay positive. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. I know I've reached out to this kid, and I know Tim has too. And, all right. Look, I have complete trust and faith that his loved one is just as hard-headed as he is, because I don't think this guy will actually ever ask for the help. He'll say thank you. He'll say he appreciates the, you know, the people touching out. Look, just, man, send thoughts, prayers, good karma, whatever you can. It's easy enough to get jaded and negative. Stay positive with your families. Or stay positive with your friends. Stay positive with your mates. Look, there's people, say, I don't necessarily by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, love or necessarily have affection for. Don't mean I wish bad on them. Nobody
True.
Needs that crap. Just saying. All right, I'm done.
Well, one of my good wrestling friends the other day, he did a video, and about 2 years ago, he had to have stents put in because he had a bunch of blockages, and he was going for his yearly, you know, follow-up, and the doctor's office called him and said, well, we think we saw some blockage, you know, and they thought it was maybe scar tissue from the stents. And he actually went to have the heart cath done the other day because he thought he was going to have bypass surgery. There was no blockage. I guess it was like a shadow or something that appeared like on the CAT scan. So now the stents are good and there was no blockage, and now he's not going to have any kind of heart surgery. So he said whether it was just, you know, me asking God for prayers or just you all sending your prayers, you know, he says, I'm grateful. I'm thankful that I don't have to have another surgery right now. So, and he hasn't been able to wrestle in over a month. But he, you know, he hadn't really said a whole lot to anybody about anything, you know, and Philly did this video the other day, and lo and behold, there was no blockage. So praise the Lord for that.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah, send our best to all these folks, man, because as Todd alluded to, you know, at any given moment, it could take a bad turn on you. And, you know, you got to call a spade, and when you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. But if you stop sometimes and just dig a little deeper, you could find a way to make that day a little better. Just take a little more faith, as Todd said, and it takes a little more damn, how do I want to say it? Don't let the darkness get to you. You know what I mean? You got to kind of keep fighting your way out of it because it's real easy to get swallowed up. Lord knows I've seen it. And, yeah, I mean, tell all these folks we wish them the best. Mm-hmm. Most certainly. But yeah, Todd,
I just wanted to say, yeah, real quick, did you know that some trees are committed to one romantic relationship at a time? They practice mahogany.
Unless they put a swing in, somebody puts a swing in there, you know what happens.
Oh, nice.
Here it goes. So, a couple things on my piece tonight. First off, my grandson last night went to his first wrestling event. He was on Monday Night Raw, Monday night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law actually set him up for the kill is what they did. They went out and they dragged them all over the place doing stuff that kids hate doing with their parents, shopping and that kind of jazz. And they said, okay, time to go home. Well, they pulled up the what was formerly the CAP Center. They don't call it that anymore, but nevertheless, Raw was being thrown there, and they park. And, of course, my grandson sees the whole marquee, and he's like, oh, man, they're wrestling, because he loves some wrestling. And bigger than anything, they said, oh, well, we're going to go see it. You want to go with us? And, I mean, I still don't think his feet touched the ground yet. So, oddly enough,
cool.
When they had Seth Rollins up there, and he was on the Titantron, he was able to spot them in the crowd. And damn, 9-year-old kid able to spot. I don't know how the hell he done it. But nevertheless, they got a picture of it, and you can actually see the three of them sitting right there. Then when they left the arena, and they were walking around the arena going to where they parked, they actually ran into one of the wrestlers. And
oh, wow.
Daniel got a picture with him in the whole damn 9 yards. So, I mean, his first wrestling experience live was really a good one. So, tip of the hat to his folks. Not to brag on my kids, but I tell you what, they amaze me every day on how well they do, because every parent stays puckered every day just hoping that their children do okay, even as adults. and they never want to see their children have bad afternoons. And seeing Lisa and Dante put on a show like that for my grandson was just absolutely amazing, and they've done a great job. In other news, today is our good, good, wonderful friend, and we need to get him on the show one night, Bill Blair. Star
For
Trek
sure.
alumni.
His birthday.
Absolutely. Fantastic, class act of a gentleman, great guy. We need to get him on here one evening when the stars align. Trying to get it to where he will come back and quite possibly show up at one of Dr. John's gigs that he's throwing in the upcoming.
I'm just saying, we're talking Bill Blair here. Nicest guy on the planet. We still got to make it worth his while.
Yeah, most definitely. So
look, those that know him and have met him and have talked to him, good stuff. I'm just saying, sure enough. I remember I had to find out some kind of social media and stuff years ago because she had seen him at the con and thought it was one of the coolest things ever, and really is. And, dude. He still will randomly send family birthday wishes, stuff like that, you know. It just, really? I mean, he's got a hell of a following, and somehow or other, he's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, he's a total class act, great guy. So I'm hoping he's enjoying his birthday today, man, because like I said,
we love you, Bill.
It's been way too long since the last time we've crossed paths just because of COVID and the con that he was always frequent to no longer is in existence. So, I mean, it's kind of made things a little distant, but hopefully we'll get him back out here soon working on that. And that brings me to the next thing. As I always carry on about until September 11th, I will say that MiniCon, Jacksonville MiniCon, September 10th, featuring myself, local artist Josh Mayers, and another young lady. Yeah, and he just did his first con a little bit at Greenville this past weekend. Did very good.
He's done our other con.
Had to do a little
Jacksonville.
He was having a little bit of doubt going on, and talked to him briefly and did a little pep talk with him, and he went to Greenville and actually kicked some ass. So, I mean, it's great to see him back on track.
I was thinking maybe you guys ought to reach out to a certain vocalist lady we know.
Yeah, that is in the works too. We are doing that as we speak, as a matter of fact. And
oh my God, she got me into so much trouble with Yuki. She's awesome. And her dad. Here we go. That's another one.
He will be joining us.
Cassie, your dad. We love him. All our thoughts, prayers, you know, good karma his way too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a real nice guy too when I met him. Real good guy. So September 10th, Jacksonville MiniCon. And then November 19th, whatever the hell the Saturday before Thanksgiving is, we got the Havelock Con, whatever the number is, it's leaving me right now, Havelock Con, Havelock, North Carolina, and then February 23rd, the Jacksonville Con here, downtown Jacksonville, looking forward to it. Dr. John is on the case, and I got to tell you, Dr. John, I know I rib him all the time about his UFO encounters and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to throwing a show, Dr. John never fails to amaze me on how well he's able to pull everything together on the day of the event And I'm really looking forward to the shows. I'm looking forward to actually, and I'm partner up with them on these upcoming shows and everything. And it's been a pleasure and a privilege so far to be the Tonto to his Lone Ranger on this. And looking forward to getting back on the con scene personally. And I'm also looking forward to seeing Dr. John getting back into the promotions, some having some success and everything with that, man, because guy's got a heart of gold and genuinely wants to do good for people. And it's hard to find people like that these days. So he actually stopped by the house the other day and dropped off some stuff. He was up here securing some con business, stopped by the house, and it was very good to see Dr. John, but hoping everything goes well as we continue to add names to that event and everything. And as we do, I will be more than willing to announce them, but until they're in cement, I dare not divulge. But nevertheless, yeah, Jacksonville MiniCon, September 10th, Lionize Games in New River Shopping Center. We will be there.
Tim, I didn't hear that. And, just for the record, Tim just ripped you.
What was that? I missed it.
Go ahead, Tim.
It's basically
it's your words.
He corrected himself, but it was still funny. Something about Dr. John doing good people.
Hey, we can't let any secrets out, man. People are listening, for crying out loud. Dr. John,
you know what?
I swear I love
you. Just for the record, he does have standards, and there it is, people.
I love him to death. He's a trip. He was in the car accident a couple months ago, and his car got totaled out. And he told me on the phone, hey, I got a new car. This was before, God, I think this was in April. So an ex-con of Myrtle Beach. He pulls up and he says, I told him I would, because it was, as a matter of fact, it had to have been April or early May, because he was still sore. And I says, when you get here, send me a text and I will go out and get your gear out of your car for you so you ain't got to pick nothing up. So he sends me the text. I go out there to the parking lot, and the car that he had, I says, damn, I thought you said you totaled your car out. And he says, well, this is the new car that I got. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Open mouth, insert foot. But by God, that car is still getting them around right now. So I guess I shouldn't crack jokes. But by God, that guy is still getting it. And he was kind enough to grace me with a copy of his latest book, even though he didn't sign it. And I had to hit him up and I said, damn, dude, don't hand me a book without signing it, for crying out loud. But, yeah, it was good to see Dr. John, and hoping nothing but success in the future, because, God, I'm looking forward to it. Had a great time doing the cons with him before. Really looking forward to have a more involved part of it in the future. So, nevertheless, appreciate everybody joining me this evening. And I am going to gather my things here. Go through that janky back door on Atwell Manor. Cue in the British lady.
And as Dave said, do good, people.
That's
I know punctuation is important. I'm just saying, do good, people. Yeah.
Especially commas. Commas are very important, because commas are the difference between let's eat boys and let's eat boys.
It, well, very much like this sentence, pork, the one you love.
Yeah. Very commas are very important and underrated. That's for damn certain. So
oh my God. We finished the show with grammar. I like it. Not that we didn't take grammar to its lowest level, but we did finish it with grammar.
We did. Not totally finished because Spectrum Internet has shit the bed on me again, so I'm trying to pull it up.
Where's that confound British lady?
Yeah, as soon as Spectrum gets their shit together. We were driving to a gig the other day and passed a Spectrum truck, and I hollered, "Your internet sucks," as I drove by. That was just sure that guy didn't hear me.
Nice. So for the guy in retail, he's yelling at the guy that has nothing.
No longer.
Well thought out.
All right. I'm going to try to go auto mode on this. Let's see if I can bring the British lady up. It's down all together, huh?
I'm thinking you need to go to colon. Or no,
yeah.
What is it? Star, whatever the hell the old DOS thing was to delete everything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
With star dot star.
I think it's C colon. I think it's just C colon, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you hit the lead or something.
Yeah,
C colon.
It might be, yeah.
Right now, or it's like a compacted colon. Right now, can't seem to get no internet.
I was doing this, just for the record, I mixed my X-Lax with some holy water. I'm about to start a religious movement.
I like the one that somebody posted. It was, if you're crapping at 11:59 and still doing it at midnight, it's the same shit, different day. You're the one that posted that, Dave. I saw that somewhere.
I think I threw that into our little small group chat.
All right, gotcha. That was good. I always appreciate that one.
Well, Rob was kind enough to reset the modem. If nothing else, let's try it again. If it doesn't come up, I'm going to try
it. Man, joke. I like it.
All right, gang. I'm having no use for internet, so this is what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to just try to sign off manually here. So, British lady, you got the night off. Hope everybody has a wonderful week. Stay safe. Try to take care of one another. And I will see everybody or hear everybody, smell everybody, whatever it takes. Next week, Pop Culture Stars. Talk to you guys a little bit. And here we go, the manual platform. And let me do my...
Thank you.
Thank you for...
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Here goes. Manual shut off. Initiating. Oh.